Paul Coyer with you till 2 o'clock. Thank you for your company. And you've joined us just in time to talk all things IT and gadgety-wise with Fevzi Turkamp. Hi, Fevzi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great, thank you. Fevzi, of course, is our gadget detective. You'll find him on Twitter at Gadget Detective, or you can go and get his podcast for free at www.gadgetdetective.com. Before we get into the stuff today, Fevzi, you would have loved to have been me over the past couple of weeks, and here's why. One, you're a chocoholic like I am, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm in Switzerland working with a chocolate company for 3 days, right, where there are chefs coming in every day making chocolate, and you just take what they make. It's left out for you to just take free all day long. Fab. And then last week, I'm in Switzerland on stage hosting an interview session for an hour on leadership with the CEO of Bühler Engineering, the CEO of SAP Software, and joining us from America, Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft. And I thought you would just swap places with me in an instant, right up your street. Am I right?
And now you've come back and decided to taunt me with all of this information.
Oh, Fevzi. So, I did bring you back some chocolate. Look,
oh,
there you
bless
are.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, there's welcome. There's an article, I think it's on the BBC News website at the moment, about how they're using science to improve further the taste of chocolate.
How can you
improve?
If that
were possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, obviously some chocolate is better than others, but yeah, it's interesting. They're using our biochemistry against us. You know, like they weaponize bugs to have sort of germ warfare. Now they're weaponizing chocolate. It's going to be the ultimate chocolate.
Ultimate chocolate. I don't want them to find the ultimate chocolate, because I always want to live in hope there's something better coming down the road, you know.
It can be the ultimate for now.
Yeah, the ultimate for now. Today's ultimate. I like that. Another one tomorrow. Anyway, yeah. We've got stuff to
it's
get
bit,
into,
it's
Fevzi.
It's like every year Apple make the best iPhone they've ever made. Yes.
Till the next
Otherwise,
one.
Otherwise, why would you release it if it wasn't better than the last one, even incrementally?
Very true. You've got a story about Apple, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, I do. So this is interesting. So Apple, one of the reasons why people use Apple phones is that they believe, and with some justification, that they can be more secure than using Android phones. However, both Apple and Android phones do get hacked. And in particular, Apple is currently suing an Israeli spyware company called the NSO Group. So this company produced tools that allow their customers to buy the software and hack into people's phones, be they iPhones or Android phones. And they say that they only sell it to sort of governments, and it's meant to be used against terrorists and people like that. Unfortunately, there's been about 150 at least different victims of people who are people like journalists and political activists and enemies of a particular government, but that doesn't necessarily make them terrorists. But this software is falling into their hands, and it's a bit like an arms dealer selling to suspect or entities. So what Apple has done in response to that is it has announced that in the next version of its software, iOS 16, it will have a lockdown mode that will basically, it's not to be used by everybody because there are inconveniences in having your phone in lockdown mode, but it will for people who are at high risk, such as political journalists and activists and human rights activists, people like that, they will then be able to put it into lockdown mode. It will block incoming invitations to FaceTime calls. Most message attachments other than images will be blocked on the messages. Web browsing, certain technologies that can contain malware won't work. So, it would be a bit like nobbling the phone, but at the same, there's always this balance between security and convenience, and in lockdown mode the phone will be less functional but more secure.
Sorry, I don't quite understand, Fevzi. So you get your phone, do you detect there's something wrong and then you put it into lockdown mode?
No.
Or you do it as a default?
You get your phone, and if you think you're a high risk target, you can do it at all, when you get your iOS 16 on your phone, and if you think that the government would quite like to hack you or that you've got commercial secrets on your device and so forth, then you can put your phone, or you'll be able to put your iPhone, into lockdown mode. Once you've done that, the way it behaves will change. So when you get messages, normally an incoming message can contain videos and quite a variety of different attachments. In lockdown mode, everything other than images will be blocked. Similarly, when you browse the internet on your phone, there's various technologies like something called JavaScript, which makes the phone, which makes the website more interactive. You know, it's not just, you know, it could have a little widget in there that gives you the weather or rolling adverts or whatever it is. There's dynamic content in the web page that's put there using a programming language called JavaScript. But that means that if you visit a website and that JavaScript's got an infection on it, then it can infect your phone. So what it does is it blocks the JavaScript from the websites that you visit. Equally, on phone calls, if you get an incoming call invitation, including for FaceTime calls, these are blocked if the user hasn't previously initiated a call to that person. Wireless connections with computer or accessories are blocked when the iPhone is locked. So these are, you know, security measures. As I say, it's, think of it like having 12 locks on your front door.
Mm-hmm.
It's more secure, but it's less convenient. And you, sure. You know, if you need to run out of the burning building, you can't do it as quickly. So they're doing that. What's interesting is I noticed on this this BBC story that they've said something that I don't quite agree with. They said that lockdown mode will be available in autumn, correct, with the next operating system, correct, across all the company's iPhones, iPads and Macs. No, across the new ones. If you've got an iPhone 7 or 7 Plus or earlier, it's not capable. Apple will not let you run iOS 16, therefore you can't have that. So if your phone is about 5 years old or more, it won't run iOS 16, therefore you won't have access to this. Now, for a feature like this, they should go back and update the older phones as well, even if they don't give you all the new features of iOS 16. When it comes to security, they should do that. And that's one of the problems, because phones get obsoleted. An iPhone 7 or a 7 Plus is still a very functional phone. Many people would be happy to continue using it, but if they're not getting, all right, they don't have to have all the new features, that's fair enough, but if Apple are not giving them the security updates they need to be able to use their phones safely and securely, I'm not just talking about lockdown mode, but including that, then your phone gets obsoleted in a de facto way. They don't, you know.
I see. Yeah, yeah. You want it to be backward compatible. But just before we go to some music, Fevzi, realistically, I can see how this would be useful for a politician, say, or an investigative journalist. For you and me, the guy in the street, are we likely to care?
No, but I think it sends a message that these sorts of softwares exist. I mean, business executives, if you are a business executive, deal with secure information. If you're a human rights activist, if you're a politician, if you're a journalist, if you're a member of the royal family, you know, people who sometimes people don't realize that they might be of interest, that they hold information that could be of interest commercially or politically. You know, and we see all the time, and especially in some of these despotic regimes where you've got, a lack of democracy, and you've got people, you know, typically journalists trying to speak the truth. They can be tracked, they can even be killed. So, software like this is really important. It's not for everyone. It's an optional mode that you can switch on.
Sure. Okay.
But you could choose to do it. Yourself. You don't need to be a target if you're willing to live with the limitations in exchange for the security, then go for it.
Okay. Fevzi, we'll be back in a minute because I want to find out what your gadget of the week is. And I have a feeling it might be something I might be interested in buying, actually. It's time now to turn to the gadget of the week. And this is something that's going to be right up my street, I think, because I've been doing a bit of research on this, Fevzi. I think you might be coming to my rescue here. Tell me what it is.
Right, so we've got two gadgets of the week, so I shall be uncharacteristically brief. The first gadget is from, I know, the first gadget is from Eufy. It's called the Security Floodlight Cam 2 Pro, and it's a combination device. It's quite an interesting combination. It is a security camera that you mount typically outside to look around, you know, your driveway or your garden, side access, that sort of thing, and a floodlight combined. So it's quite interesting. So the camera itself is unusual because normally cameras have just got wide angle lenses on them and they're fixed, and therefore people can be outside the detection of the camera. With this one, it's what's called a 360 pan and tilt camera. So it can look to its left and right, in fact, all the way back and behind itself, 360 degrees in a lateral motion, left-right motion, but it can also go up and down. So if it locks onto someone, it's got tracking. So it locks onto what it believes is a human being, and then it literally tracks them. The lights come on. That does two things. It has a deterrent effect because the lights have come on. And it also means that instead of you having a grainy black and white image using the infrared technology, you've got enough light to have a full color image, which is much better in terms of identifying individuals if you need to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have zoom. I would have liked it to have had zoom so it can, you know, just zoom in and even zoom in on the face, but it doesn't do that. But still, it's a 2K camera. That means the resolution is twice that of a full HD television set. So you've got a reasonable chance of picking up facial features or number plates, that sort of thing. So good for that. The light panels themselves can be controlled in a variety of ways. They can be set to come up on and off with sunset and sunrise. They can be set to be on at certain hours if you want to just do it on a schedule, or motion detection. So they can, even if they're off, if they detect a human, they will come on. I would say that the motion detection, which is meant to be AI and detect humans, it does detect humans, but I've also seen it detect and track dogs, which are not very human-like. So the AI will probably need to improve a little bit. But still, you know, I'd still want to know if there was a dog or a fox walking around my, you know, sure, I'd be just kind of interested. Anyway, the lights themselves, you can control the brightness of the lights and also what's called the color temperature. You know, some lights are very bright, sort of almost bluish. Some are a more sort of warmer, yellowy light. You can choose what you have there. But you get 300 lumens, which is quite bright for a floodlight. And it will make recordings of up to 2 minutes upon an activation. You don't need to have a subscription to use this as well, which is nice, because often with the ones that need subscriptions, you might pay, say, £100 a year for the subscription. This one, you don't need to do that. It's compatible with voice commands as well. So if you use Google or the one from Amazon, then you can control it using your phone like that as well. So you could manually track the camera. If something catches your eye and interests, you can actually just do that. So all in all, a rather good device. 4 stars out of 5. Would have been 4.5 if it had had a zoom function. Mm. And I anticipate that the software needs to work a little bit better as well.
I'll definitely check that out because I am on the market for a security camera. Okay, we've got 2 minutes to do your second gadget of the week.
Ample. Okay, so this is this is from a company called
Anker. You remember.
A-N-K-E-R. It's called the Anker 551. It's, again, another combination device. It's a tablet stand for putting your iPad or other tablet on there, but it's also an 8-in-1 hub. So it's got a base, which is a wedge, and it's got sort of two joints, so it can articulate to any orientation and position that you really want it to. And although it's primarily designed for iPads, it will work essentially with any tablet that uses a USB-C connector, which is the more modern and functional type of connectors that you get on tablets and computers. So with this hub, it means... So iPads are very functional. They're as powerful as desktop computers these days, but they don't have the same slots, the same connections that you get. You get one simple connection. So when you have it docked into this stand, your iPad, you get back your 3.5mm audio port, so you can plug headphones in or speakers. You've got two USB-A connectors on it, so you can plug in a keyboard and mouse, because iPads now can work with keyboards and mouse. You're not just stuck with the touch interface, you can do both. And using an iPad with a keyboard is revolutionary. It just changes the way everything works. It's got USB-C connector, which is rather good. It's got an HDMI connector, so you can connect your iPad to an external monitor at 4K resolution, and you can put memory cards into it, either SD or micro SD cards. So you get all this functionality that suddenly brings an iPad or USB-C tablet to life. So check compatibility, but basically every iPad Pro since 2018 should work. Every iPad Air since 2020 should work, and other USB-C tablets as well. All in all, excellent. 4 stars out of 5. I almost got 4.5.
Okay. Favzi, as always, a pleasure. And remember, anything you've heard Favzi talking about this morning, if you want to check out more, get to his website, www.gadgetdetective.com. Look forward to speaking to you soon, Favzi. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Cheers.